Turn with me in your Bibles to the little book of Jude. There's so many chapters, you'll find it on the first one. Everything I'm going to say, okay? First chapter. I've preached out of this little book several times, but Brother Jerry and I was talking. I've never took this and taught it verse by verse. One of these days we might do that. Jude, of course, is a brother of James, and that should tell you something about him. But Jude, he's a servant of Jesus Christ, he said, and that he wanted the world to know that. And a brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, I'm reading the first verse, by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Aren't you glad we're preserved in Jesus Christ, huh? This is eternal life, everlasting life that we have, and I thank God for it. I want to talk to you today about success all the way. I didn't say trouble-free, but I said you can have success all the way. From the time you get saved until you go home to be with the Lord, you can have success in your life. I've often said, my wife said when I was writing this out, she said, you often say that successful life is getting saved as early as possible in life and living in the will of God for the rest of your life. That is success. I've always had that in my heart. I don't know how many years ago that came about. But it's not always easy to be in the will of God because we still have the flesh and we still have the world. And all of these are enemies against and we still have Satan around us. And all of these are enemies towards God's people. I'm going to read, let's go to verse 3 to start with. I'm trying to get where I'm going here. I put some verses in there. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, encourage you, and exhort you is what he's saying, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. If there's ever been a day that we should earnestly contend for the faith, it is today. There's everything going on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that's not of Jesus Christ. There's everything being taught and every perversion of the Bible is being taught, and it's not of God. So you must realize and be able to discern the difference. He said, I'm talking to you about that. No, you should earnestly contend for the faith, for the faith, which was once delivered unto who? Saints. We're saints of God. We don't have to die to become a saint. We need to be born again to become a saint. And that's it. The saints are the holy. It kind of means holy, and it also means set aside for God's use and all that. But you very seldom ever hear that word saint. You very seldom ever hear it ever described of a Christian. But we are saints of God, and I thank God that God has a special name for it. Then jump over to verse 20, if you will, in this same chapter, because it's the only chapter. Here, look what a beautiful, beautiful title that God has given to his people. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for saving us. And not only that, God, for preserving us and keeping us in the family of God and protecting us. But God, we have some wars going on. We have a war of the flesh against the spirit. We have a war of the world against everything we do. We have the war of old Satan who comes after us like a roaring lion. And we have those others who want to pervert the Bible and tear it apart and Bible creeps is what some call it. But God, I pray now that we'll learn something today that we can always be successful when we earnestly contend for the faith and stay in the Word of God. And that everything in our lives line up with the Word of God and obey the Word of God. I pray for that soul that's nearest hell, one that's lost today, that they might be born into the family of God. For that one that's maybe contemplating walking away because of some things that must have happened or maybe happened in their life, I pray that today they'd be restored back into sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for every Christian that you would encourage them and strengthen them. For it's in Jesus Christ's lovely name I pray. Amen. He said he exhorted them. He wanted them to know something and receive something. General Booth. How many knows who General Booth was? Anybody know who General Booth was? How many knows what the Salvation Army is? He's the one that started it, okay? He was in a state church, or they tried to get him in a state church, and they wanted him to take a license, and he couldn't go certain places, and he couldn't do this. And his wife was up way up in the audience, a big crowd there that day, and they told him if he did that, he couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And she hollered out at him and said, "Don't do it. Don't do it," she said. So he earnestly contended for the faith. Somebody asked him, says, "What makes you, this is worldwide. This started in England, but this thing went worldwide with him." And some of it's been messed up a little bit down the line, but it still was a great ministry that he had. He went into the slums and to the poor people and to different people, and he had loads and loads and thousands of people saved. But they asked him what his success was. He hesitated, and then with tears in his eyes, said this, "I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me to have success." He said he has had all there was of me to have success. Very few times and very few people that I know has given their all to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want total success in God's eyes, maybe not man's eyes, but in God's eyes, he wants all of you. Okay, he wants all of you, and that's no... God has had all there was of me to have success. I believe that is what we all long to have as a Christian. How many long to have success in a Christian? I do. I want to be successful in God's eyes, not the world, but God's eyes. I don't need a pat on the back or all that. I need to know that there's fellowship between God and me, and there's peace between God and me, and I know that I'm doing what He wants me to do. And that's all that matters. I want to be accepted in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us over in Ephesians that we can be accepted, and we are accepted as far as salvation. The beloved are accepted in the eyes of the Lord, he said. We know that. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is something I'm going to read this before we get going too far here. Chapter 1 and verse 8. It says this. This book of the law, he's talking about the writings, all they had at that time, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all, not some, but all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. That's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. But it's all according to the Word of God. You keep the Word of God, meditate on it, memorize it, obey it, and you'll have good success. He said you'll prosper and have good success. I found that to be true. How many of you found that to be true? I promise you, when you obey God, do what the Bible says, you'll find your life is different. It's wonderful to know that. There's people that they come to church, They go to work, they take care of their family, they're good citizens and all that. You know, the world has a different outlook on what success is. The non-Christian says success means getting on in this world and achieving all his goals. That's what the world says. It means a happy marriage, a few children, a nice house, a good job, a new car, and a bank account in the black always, not the red, always, and we could go on and on. But that's not success. That's a good citizen. That might be a good person. But success is... Now, all those things is good. All those things you should do as far as a family man and a father and a mother and whatever it might be. But are we doing what God wants us to do in His work? Are we becoming what God wants us to become in His work? In His family, I should say. Are we going through the motions or coming to church and that's it? Success for the Christian is being found acceptable to the Lord. It is hearing His well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what success is. And you said, well, I don't know. Yes, you do, can know too. You can know when you've done what God wants you to do. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know when I haven't done what God wants me to do, and I know when I have done what God wants me to do. I have a person that lives inside of me called the Holy Spirit of God, and he lets me know right away if I'm doing what God wants me to do or if I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And when he tells me something, I know it's right, and I know it's because it lines up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not from the Holy Spirit of God. It lines up with the Word of God. You say, well, I just want to be religious, and that's all I want. God help you. You'll be a miserable person trying to straddle the fence, trying to live in the world with one foot and live in God's family with the other foot. It'll be a miserable life for you all the way home. I promise you that. He wants all of you. He said, we've been bought with a price, and we're not our own. We're not our own anymore. Listen, if you buy something, you buy a car, do you drive it? It's yours, isn't it? You buy whatever kind you want, as long as you pay for it and the bank don't take it back. You can buy whatever kind you want. And it's yours, and you do what you want to with it. And Jesus Christ has bought us, and he should be able to do what he wants to with us. Whether you think it's right or not, it is right. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Laboring in the Scriptures is the first thing that I want to talk to you about. Look in verse 20 there. He talks about this, okay? But ye. Who's he talking about, but ye? He's talking about those over in, like in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's who he's talking to you. But ye, he said. Now, before this, he went through a lot of apostate teaching. Cain, he tried to change the method of salvation. Well, that's going on today, isn't it? Cain tried to change the method of salvation. Cain figured that his good works in the field and whatever he raised in the gardens or wherever he's raised, he could bring that as a sacrifice and God would accept it. God says it's got to be a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's always been that way and always will be. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Listen, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saves. Listen, God never saves anybody by good works. Now we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works after we're saved. And you should have good works. If you don't, you're out of the will of God or not saved. One of the two. You should have good works. Listen, after we're saved, and we should have it. Cain, he tried to change the way of salvation. People try to change the way of salvation today. They said works for righteousness. And listen, there's people today that said, well, I'm saved by the grace of God. By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I am what I am today by the grace of God. That's right, you're saved, but you're created in Christ Jesus. Listen, grace does not give us a license to sin. It does not give us a license to sin. Just because you have eternal life, everlasting life, that doesn't mean you go out here and live like a junkyard dog. You should have changed when you got saved. I should have changed when I got saved. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Cain tried to change the way, the method of salvation. Korah, now she was, this is fine here, you know. She challenged the authority God had placed over her. Now, there's a lot of them do that today, too. I had a man sit in my office here one time years ago. He's gone. Okay, don't look around and say, that's him. No, he's gone. He was telling me what I should preach and what I shouldn't preach. Now, he got a hold of the wrong one there, you know. He got a hold of the wrong one about that time because I told him if he wanted to preach what he wanted to, God was calling preachers every day and looking for them. If he thought he was a preacher, he should accept the calling. But don't you go around telling me what God wants me to preach. Listen, I make mistakes. I'm not saying I'm going to preach what thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't matter if what happens in this world, I'm going to preach that as long as I'm living. But Korah did the same thing. She challenged Moses. at his authority. God had put Moses in authority. And we see that. And then Balaam, he was something else. You know, Balaam, he just talks about Balaam. The heir of Balaam must be distinguished from the way, you know, and his doctrine and all that. The heir of Balaam was that reasoning from natural morality and seeing the evil in Israel. He thought God ought to kill them all, you know. It's all these things that Balaam is a false god and all of that. We've got people that are like that too. If you do anything, you know, buddy, you're written, as Mark said this morning, they write you off right now. Mark that one off. No, the grace of God is still sufficient. Grace of God is still there, and God will take care of that in his own time. We talk about all these things happen, but he gets over here in verse 20, he said, But ye, beloved. You're not like that. You know what we deliver to you. You know what faith is. But ye, beloved, he says, I want you to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. I want it to be built up. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You should grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be stronger today than you was last week. This is what God is telling us to be. You say, I don't want to. You're missing it. You're missing something wonderful. Building yourself on your most holy faith. The stability. He's talking about the stability is emphasized. Most holy faith. God's written word. God breathed. True, pure, powerful, preserved. Greatest story ever told in this Bible here. You read anything and everything except the Word of God. I don't understand it. You want to know more about this, more about that, and more about the world, but the Word of God, people, they bring it to church. Do you read it? You said, I can't understand it. Let me tell you something. Nobody understands it until they get saved. You said, I don't get much out of it. Nobody gets a whole lot out of it when they first start. But the Holy Spirit will give you exactly what you need as you begin to read. I didn't know one scripture when I got saved. Still don't know much. But I know this. I know more now than what I did before I got saved. And I know more. Listen, and because you read and you study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stability. It makes you strong. And when the winds of false doctrine, the winds of false teaching, all of these come around, you're not going to be tossed to and fro. You're going to stand like a giant there with them. That's what it's all about. People run here and people run there and they said, well, this don't matter and that don't matter. There's just one thing I don't agree with here. If there's one thing, that's enough. That's the Bible. If you don't agree with something and it's in the Bible and they're not teaching that, get out. I didn't mean to be so harsh today when I first come back. The greatest story ever told. You know what this Bible tells me? It tells me who Jesus is. It tells me how to be saved. That I am, that I'll stay saved. It tells me that I'm going to heaven one day. Who in the world can't worship and lift up Jesus Christ when you know Him as your personal Savior? Who wouldn't want to love Him and praise Him who pulled you out of hell one day and put you on the way to heaven? Who wouldn't want to love Him and praise Him and know more about Him? If somebody saved my life and did something special for me, they would always be my friend. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that loveth at all times. His name is Jesus. I don't want to dishonor Him. I don't want to displease Him. I do. I know I do, but I don't want to. He's precious. Precious is the blood of Jesus. Precious is the promises of Jesus. Precious is He to those who believe in Jesus. Precious is Jesus. This old book tells us about that. It tells us about that. The saint, listen, the saint that is exercised. And look what he says. He says, in the same verse, he says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in whose? Your. He's talking to you personally. Your. He's talking to you. That's the pronoun. I know it is. But he's talking to you personally. He said, building up your faith between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally. Exercise that faith. How do you exercise? By reading the Word of God, by coming to preaching the Word of God, come to teaching the Word of God, by fellowshipping with other people that love the Word of God, all of the, by going out and telling others about Jesus Christ and what a wonderful Savior He is. Amen. Nothing like it in all this world. But ye, your, He says. It is God's Word, and what is He becomes ours. And you know, when He becomes, listen, what is God's becomes ours. This is His Word. We're joined ours with Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now Jesus is mine, and I'm joined ours with Him. If this is His Word, this is my Word also. Not that I penned it down, not that I breathed it out, but He wants to share it with me. He wants me to know everything there is in this book. He loves me, and He said, I want you to build that faith up and keep building it, block by block, build it up, He said. Exercising that faith, building up. You can exercise it in many ways, by praying, by reading, by sharing, on and on and on I could go. It's wonderful. This is our unspeakable privilege as a child of His, this precious Word of God. What a privilege. Are you missing it? If you don't read it and you don't know it and you don't want to know it and you just say, well, I'm saved, I'm on my way. Oh, you're missing it? You're missing the greatest joy that there ever was in this world. Joy unspeakable and full of glory down in your soul. Every you read that, sometimes He'll get a hold of your heart. He'll love you in such a way that you'll never understand until you get in there and get it. You said, I don't want that. You're missing it. Did you know all the pleasures in this world will never satisfy the longing of the soul? Never. If you had all the plenty, if you had all the money you could have, you could never. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy love. None of those things can. Listen, can money? Listen, money can buy happiness. I shouldn't say things that are happening now and then, but money can't buy joy. Money can't buy joy. The study that is encouraged. He talks about you in this same. He talked about your, but he says, building up yourselves. He said, I want you to build it up. Study to show thyself to prove God. He said, you build that up, and he said, it'll be a blessing to you. You become strong. It is continued building project as long as I live. As long as I live, this building project is still going on. It's still going on, and it'll be going on until we go to be with. When do I stop? When I get home with the Lord. Until I get home from the Lord. It's something that goes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Let me read a verse to you. You don't have to go over there. Ye also as lively stones. Now, we're one of those stones in that building. Are built up a spiritual house. We're building a spiritual house. And holy priesthood. There we are. We're saints and priests. To offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to who? God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Building that house. Building that house. The first thing you do when you go to build a house, I'm not a builder, Jim is, and some of you other fellows might know more about it, but you put a foundation under it, don't you? If you don't have a good foundation, hit this sinking sand. It's going away from me. And no other foundation can any man lay than that's already laid, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You start with Him. And every stone, that's what he just said, every stone that's laid is through him and by him that's laid on that house. Every one of them, that building that we're building. The strength that is experienced, we grow in grace and knowledge. We become stronger in faith. We must sit at his feet and learn of him. Learn of him. You can't get it no other place. You must learn of him. I got to go on. I think of the building. Jim built us a sunroom. Some of you probably know, but I love that sunroom. I got out there this morning, and I was studying. I got up about 4 this morning and was writing down some things. Jerry gave me some stuff, and I wanted to write down some things and all that he'd given me. And I was studying my lesson and all, and I had to get my little gas stove on because it's cold out there this morning, you know. So I got that. I couldn't get it lit right away. But finally, I got that thing lit. And I turned that gas stove all the way up to the little old stove. And boy, that room just got toasty, you know. And I thought about how much I enjoy that building. And then Jesus showed me when I got here. He said, how much do I enjoy the building that you're building for me? How much do I enjoy the building you've been? I wonder sometimes, does he enjoy that last stone I laid or that last part that I had in it? I wonder sometimes if he's pleased with what I'm doing or not pleased with what I'm doing. I want him to be pleased, don't you? I want him to know I love him. I want him to know I appreciate him and love him for all he's done. Leaning on the Spirit's the next thing. Verse 20 there, he talks about that. Listen, he says, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I've heard people pray, the Holy Spirit wasn't within 100 miles of him. You don't have to tell Jesus what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you why you don't have to. He wrote it. And he knows every word of it. I've heard people just quote Bible, 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 Bible. I said to myself, don't they know Jesus wrote that book? I'm not making fun of you. I'm just telling you. When you pray, ask God what he would have you to pray about. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll do that for you. You'll be surprised what he'll do. He'll do that for you. The Holy Spirit. Listen, this is most important. I got a call from Texas. In fact, I had two calls from Texas when I got home Thursday night late. Didn't bother with them. Next day, I went to studying and reading and everything. And then finally, I realized I better make these phone calls and catch up on my the whole list was full in there. And I called Robert. Jim knows him and Terry knows him. Robert calls me every once in a while, and I haven't been out there in years, but he was a pastor to Jim's daddy and mother out there. And a wonderful person. I love Robert with all my heart. Robert's he doesn't have all the security that he needs about things, but he has the Lord and loves the Lord. But he asked me to do something, and he said, I called you, Pastor, because I know you pray. That's something. You know, you think about that for a minute. Do I pray? And I started thinking, Lord, do I pray like he thinks I pray? Do I lift up your name the way I should when I pray? He said, my son needs your prayer. My daughter needs your prayer. And he said, I trust you. I haven't seen you for years. I love Robert. He said, I'd love to see you sometime. Maybe we will. If we don't here, we will there. But then he told me some good news. He said, do you remember Robert? The other Robert? What was his last name, Dummy? You can remember? Jones. Robert Jones was his name. His sister was in the church there, and she said, preacher, would you talk to my brother? I said, sure. I thought he just, you know, down the road. She said he won't go to church. He's in Vietnam. He got all messed up, and he's been to every mental ward that the veterans can give him and take him to. He's been on every kind of medicine they got. I said, he's a mess. I said, can you get him down here some way? And she said, yes, I believe I can. So she told him I was a veteran too, you know, and come back. And he come down, and we had a pot of coffee, and we began to drink coffee. I began to talk to Robert, and he began to pour his heart out. He wept like a baby. I felt so sorry for him. I got him quieting down a little bit, and I told him about Jesus. Robert got gloriously saved. And he told me, he said, you remember Robert? I said, he said, I went to church out there the other day. And he said, Robert's active in church. He loves God. And he's not on all that old medicine stuff anymore. And he's doing so good. But that's what Jesus can do in your life. But you need to pray for folks. You need to pray the Holy Spirit. Let him have the way. Not us, but him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray. Leaning on the Spirit of God. I fall short a lot of times in praying. It's something I just fall short in. The men and women of the Bible, you know, they never read a book on prayer. They never read one book on prayer, but they prayed. Hannah never had a book on prayer. Hannah wanted a man child. And she got in the Spirit one day. And they said she is drunk, but she hadn't touched a drop. But she got in the Spirit, and that's God for a man child. God gave her that man child. She said, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you, Lord. Said he'll be with you the rest of his life. She did exactly what she said she'd do. And she got a man child. I'll get it right in a minute. His name was Samuel. That's where I got my name from. That man child. God answers prayer. They just prayed. An appreciation of His name, the Holy Ghost. Do you appreciate that? You know, a lot of people say it. It's not an it. He's a person. He's a person. You can't grieve an it. You can't quench an it. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because He's a person. Yeah, I'll tell you how some of the things, and I'm not going to go all these scriptures. He speaks, Acts 13:2. He intercedes, Romans 8:26. He commands, Acts 16:6 and 7. He guides, John 16:3. He reproves. He comforts. He's the Holy Spirit of God, the third person if you want to put Him there, but He's God, just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. He's God. And He lives in you if you're saved. An awareness of our need. You know, He's always aware of what our need is. We need God to intervene. Prayer is possible. Prayer is promoted in the Bible, all through it. Pray without ceasing. Men are to always pray. You have not because you ask not. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Prayer is always promoted. Prayer is powerful. Why is prayer powerful? Because we're praying to an almighty God. And it's powerful. Let me get one more thing in here. About ready to close it. Listen, leaning on the Spirit, and laboring in the Scriptures, this will give you a successful life all the way home, and loving our Savior. You cannot do nothing for the Lord unless you fall in love with Him. You might as well hang it up. If you don't love God, you won't do nothing for Him. You'll do a little bit and you say, that's enough. What is enough? When is enough? Where is enough? It's never enough. How can you ever say, I've done enough? How can you ever quit on God? How can you ever turn your back on God? It's never enough. It's never enough. Never enough. Look in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I like that song we sung this morning. Jesus loves me. I know Jesus loves me. Do you know that? I know that. You know how long His love is forgiving. His love is forever. I know that. How do you know that? I know where He brought me from one day. I know when He brought me out of the old horrible pit, that miry clay, and set my feet on that solid rock and established my going and put a new song in my heart. And it's still there. And then that love of God was shed abroad in my heart. And it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. Knowing how much He loved me when He left the portals of heaven. He left heaven, the glories of heaven. He left it all. And He come to this sin-cursed world. And He come down here in this filth and awful. Can you imagine a perfect Savior, a perfect person, and He knew no sin, yet He took upon Him the sins of the whole world so that we might be robed in His righteousness when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Gives us a brand new heart. He don't recondition our heart. He gives us a brand new heart. He tells us if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Love Him for the faith delivered to the saints. Look in verse 3 there. He talked about the faith that He does. God gave you that faith. Faith is a gift of God. You don't one day say, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ. It's all God. God gave you that faith. God gave me that faith. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He gives us more faith when we get into the Word of God and when we do what He wants us to do. He gives us more faith. Faith. Nothing like it. Love Him for keeping us from falling. Look in verse 24. I'm not going to go all these other verses down, but I'm just picking out some things. Now unto Him that is able to what? Keep you from falling. I'm talking about success all the way home. He'll keep you from falling if you let Him. Do you believe He can save you and keep you out of hell and take you to heaven? He'll keep you from falling if you'll let Him. He'll keep you. You say, well, everybody's got to go fall once more. No, they don't. No. He'll keep you from falling if you'll let Him. But you better stay in that book. You better be led by the Spirit of God. You're going to get in trouble if you don't. That's a fact. That's all right there for you. You said, I've had enough. You know, I've got all I want. God help you. You're missing the blessings of God. He'll keep you from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't have to get out there into sin. You don't have to go out there in the hole, the hell holes again. You don't have to do that. Loving for the faith He delivered to you. Loving for keeping us from falling. Love Him for presenting us faultless. Look in verse 24 also. And to present you faultless. How does that happen? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of that. God doesn't see my sin anymore. He doesn't see your refusals any. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from all unrighteousness. I'll never have to stand in front of God and give an account of my sins as far as salvation is concerned. I'll have to give an account of what I've done since I've been saved. Whether good or bad, I'm going to either receive reward or lose them. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, which most of mine will probably be, it's going to burn. But if it's those precious jewels, it'll stand right there. There's five crowns you can win. My daughter said, Daddy, why don't you teach on that? I said, I have before, but maybe I'll do it again. There's five crowns that you can earn. And you know what you do with those crowns? You don't walk around heaven with them on your head and say, look what I did. You lay them at the feet of Jesus. You lay them at the feet of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Not us, but He is. What a Savior, what a God we have. Love Him for the exceeding joy He's given you. I had enough joy this week for everybody. I have enough joy getting up here and preaching for everybody. I love to preach. You say, well, I don't like to listen to y'all. Now, if I go much longer, I know you won't want to listen. The joy He gives us. The exceeding joy. It didn't say this joy. Exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Exceeding. Look in verse 24 again, okay? Before the presence of His glory with what? With exceeding joy. That's it, with exceeding joy. Oh, what a Savior. What a God we have. Success is immersing ourselves in the Word of God and let it consume us, control our lives, and control our life. Let it just consume you and control your life. But you have to get in the Scriptures. The Scriptures. It brings joy, it brings peace, and it brings joy exceedingly. It brings a home that Jesus can live in. I'm glad He lives in my home. I can't tell you all the things and the joy that I have because Jesus is there. I took my little boy when I first got saved and on Christmas, and you've heard me tell this, and I thought about this is the first Christmas I've ever been sober in my adult life. And we was playing football. He was just a few months old. But I thought to myself as I played ball, what a joy. What a joy. Not only to look at my son and my daughter, but to realize what Christmas is all about now. And realize that God gave me that boy. God gave me that little girl. God created those for me. And God has brought joy into my home for the first Christmas in all my life. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I had peace in my heart. I wasn't ashamed of where I'd been last night or what I'd done last night. I had the peace of God that passeth all understanding in my heart. And He keeps it there.
He brings peace. Happiness depends on what's happening around you. But joy only comes from Jesus. Success all the way. Success all the way. You better get in the Bible if you want it. It's in the Bible. It tells you. Laboring in the Scriptures. Learning of the Spirit. Oh, leaning on the Spirit, I should say. And loving our Savior. Let's stand to our feet. God help us. We want success, and we want it for our children, and we want it for our home, we want it for our family. It's all in that book right there. And the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate everything you need to know to you. He'll teach you those things, and He'll bring them back to remembrance when you need them. It's all in this book right here. Now, life is not without troubles. Life is not without trials. Life is not without tribulations. And life is not without tragedies. I heard Brother Chuck tell about his grandson when he committed suicide. I heard another preacher down there talked about a healthy little boy that had gotten saved, a grandson. And they called him when he was in a meeting, and he went down there and they rushed him to hospital. He died at 10 years old. Tragedy. But they didn't quit. They kept on going, kept on going, and kept on going. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you want success all the way? Won't you just come up here and fall on this altar and ask God to lead you through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit of God? I want success all the way home. I want to know what success is all the way home. Won't you come right now and just let God speak to your heart? Now, if you need to be saved, you need to come right now, too. You need to come right now. Come right now if you need to be saved.